Chapter 11. We had a big party. We may move from Chapter 10. Where's is John now?
He's down.
She's sick?
He's got a cold or something.
Harry's petri dish.
Ruth, in fact, she sneezed it already four times.
She just sneezed.
What?
I don't think she's sick.
Yeah, she's a carrier.
Any thoughts about all that we've talked about the last few days? About casting thy bread upon the waters, as opposed to eating it on the mountain, all that kind of stuff?
Talk about last night. Good Bible study.
Our expansive Bible study. Studied it for an hour.
Yeah. Very good.
Any other insights?
Oh. Well, it's very liberating. I don't quite know how to expand on that part of it, but to be able to give is one of the greatest gifts to man. And I guess it's the best and the worst of both places, because when you're clogged up and can't give or express or be, you're miserable.
Right. And you can't, and again, it's not an option. Giving isn't an option. Giving happens automatically once you stop eating on the mountain.
Yeah, that's, we talked about that. It's like we talk about things being digital. You're either in or out, you know, it's you or the it's Christ or the Antichrist. Here, you're either eating on the mountain or you're casting your bread. You're giving away, joyfully giving away everything you have to everybody all the time, or eating on the high place.
Right. And the whole process. Well, let's look at that thing about giving. When the scriptures say, cast thy bread on the waters. Now, the waters, again, it isn't, well, I'm giving to a church, or I'm giving to meet a need, or I'm giving in the name of God, even.
Planned, organized giving.
You're giving. And it's the fruit of, you can't help but give if you've stopped eating what you have to give. And this is kind of...
Well, it's like the cancer, the cancer analogy. Your normal state at rest is giving. You have to exert energy to not do that.
Well, the normal state spiritually is giving. The normal state of the human race is not giving, because and the way you know is that you have an investment in what you've given. In other words, the great lesson of the Good Samaritan parable. The Samaritans were the worst, the most hated of all of the at the time of Christ. They were the most hated because they were trying to be Jews, but they built their own temple and they just screwed up everything. And so, for Jesus to say, give, well, it has to do with love. The question is, who is my neighbor? And that's always the eternal question, because you can gain some righteousness in giving if you're giving to meet a need and the need is met. In other words, if you're giving and you're successful at giving, the whole basis of how these great endowment funds and everything, you know, are run is that you have to have a pattern of success at what your mission statement is in order to be a beneficiary of their giving. And that's rightly way it should be in the world, but not in the kingdom of God. Because in the kingdom of God, you give as natural as breathing, and the big thing is is that you have no investment in the giving. So whatsoever you do in thought, in word, and in deed, you do it heartily as unto the Lord. And that doesn't say, that doesn't have anything to do with that, well, I've really got to do a good job because I'm doing it for God. It means that you have absolutely no investment in what happens. Now, this will be the most freeing thing that you can ever see if you...
What this is perfectly tied to is the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Of course,
And it's right there, and there can be no other place for this freedom to exist except this moment when you're pouring out, and it never changes.
Never changes. The mercy seat, that's why to the merciful, he shows himself to be merciful. That's why there is no wrath for a believer. There's only chastisement, which is for your benefit. There's nothing to fear. You don't fear. I mean, it's joyful. God loves a joyful giver, hilarious giver. Well, it's not, okay, I'm going to act like I'm hilarious and give. The only way that hilarity can happen is if you have no investment in the outcome.
Implicit in the word cast. It's not carefully place your bread.
But again, this is only possible from the location of sphere, on the mercy seat. It's not possible if you still are eating on the high place, because you will carefully give, you will measure the response of what happened, you will find out whether anybody is appreciative or not. And your whole, and what that all says is all of that is being done for your feast on the mountain. It has nothing to do with the... Am I communicating? John?
You ever watch people put money in a tip jar? They wait till the people behind the counter are looking. Putting money in the tip jar.
Act as if you're casting your bread upon the water.
Yeah. And again, this is why the Didache had this great statement. If anyone comes to you in the name of God asking for money, shun him. He's a false apostle. He's a false prophet. So the whole... Our walk is not a walk of discernment of whether or not this is the right thing to do and that's the wrong thing to do. It's a hilarious giving, whatever we have. Now, this doesn't happen, unfortunately. It always digital. It may have happened one or two times during the course of your early life, but it isn't an act. It's like humility isn't an act of humility. It's a way of life. It springs from the mercy seat. Everything springs from the mercy seat, and you're either on the mercy seat or on the judgment. If you're on the judgment seat, you will eat. You'll everything you do in thought, in word, in deed will have to be for your feast on the mountain. Got it?
I missed something there. Everything you do.
If you're on the judgment seat and supposed to the mercy seat, then whatever you're doing will be in subtly for your benefit.
I thought you said mercy seat and then that. I didn't.
And the only response is, well, I'm gonna start giving joyfully. You can't do that. No, you can repent from where you are and move on to the mercy seat. You can never solve it by an act or a change in behavior, because that just makes the mountain more, according to that view, the mountain has become, you're successful in eating, you have a good feast. This is why if you think you're helping somebody, you're not.
This reminds me of a few months ago you were talking about you can afford to be generous.
Well, you can. It's like you on the mercy seat. You're at the top of the pyramid. It's the highest the human race can go. It's the highest place that there is. Nothing can compare to it. And so when you leave the mercy seat for the sake of a moment of chewing on something, then you, what you have said to God is, I do not honor you. I do not honor this, the path. I do not, your name isn't hallowed. And that's why this prayer of Christ, the disciples' prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, is so immense. Because the first thing, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Well, I cannot hallow his name if I have any agenda, if I have any investment in what I'm doing, if I have any response to other than joy to anything of life. It has to come, your response has to be, Father, forgive me, not so that I can change, but that I've allowed the evil one to be resurrected very subtly. Because you're feeding on the mountain and using other people for your feast. You're eating the flesh of the other people. And so we've talked a million times about how you eat the flesh of your children when you have an investment in what they do, and you're sad if they don't do it. Well, the same thing is, it's all a human race can do is eat on the mountain. So there isn't any true charity. Charity is, from the Greek, agape. Oh, I hope you hear this. Because otherwise, each one of those things you're doing, if you have an investment in it, then that becomes another bar in your jail cell. Because then that their response to you, this is why the Jew, we're going to talk about circumcision and something else here in a minute when it says divide unto 7 and 8 and all that. But I want you to see that I'm not making it up. Go to Romans 2. Now, I promise you, this will sneak up on you, and before you're having a feast in the mountain, you don't even realize it. Or you're mourning because you didn't. You're mourning for Tammuz. You remember that thing in Ezekiel? Tammuz is just a resurrection god, and so if he didn't meet your expectations, then you're in mourning for him, waiting for him to be resurrected again. And so it's just goofy.
I'm having a crazy response here of feelings not worth. I'm not worthy to hear this message. I shouldn't be hearing this.
Well, you're not.
And it's something I can't meet any demands that this message would tend to say I would be required of me to experience or know about it. It's real wild. And I find that because I didn't say it the minute it started, it turned into a feast of pitifulness.
Well, you're mourning for Thomas.
Yeah, and you have to say that.
Remember when we spent like months and months and what mourning for Tammuz means?
Yeah. And it shows the evil. I'll either take the high or the low.
Sure.
I'll wallow with the pigs or soar with the eagle, either way to,
so that you can be fed.
Right.
It doesn't matter whether you're eating good food or what you think. Some of you love to eat, this really crazy morning food. You're always at a morning feast because you didn't meet some standard.
Oh.
Then you think that's spiritual.
Right. You say to the pigs, wait up, wait up. You say to the eagles, wait up, wait up.
Yeah. Out of the way.
Romans 2. Verse 28. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Well, if you're sad because something didn't go your way, then by definition, your praise is not of God, it's of men. If you esteem something that every other person on the face of the earth esteems, you know it's not of God.
What does the word Jew mean?
Jew, here, remember, Jew is, there's 12 tribes. The 10 northern tribes are called Israel, and the 2 southern tribes are called Judah, or Jew. That's where the word Jew comes from. The 10 northern tribes were banished to, if you believe some of these people, they're banished to Canada or something, you know, anywhere. They've disappeared from the face of the earth. The 2 southern tribes were the ones that were only ones that were there when Christ was revealed. And they had to keep, they had to stay there because, according to the prophecies in Deuteronomy, the tribe of Judah was responsible for the bloodline, and the tribe of Benjamin was responsible for the temple. So in order for Jesus to be manifest, there had to be the tribe of Judah. And so in order for the temple to be shown that it was a sham, it had to be the tribe of Benjamin still remaining. And so the tribe of Benjamin and Judah are what we call the Jew. Or what now that it's become the common usage, it's who is of God.
So spiritually we are of the bloodline.
We are the bloodline and we are of Benjamin because we now are the keepers of the temple, and we are of Judah because the bloodline in Christ is, but this, that's the only 2 that are necessary. All the other types were, that's why they disappeared, because their types and purpose were fulfilled. The only thing that wasn't fulfilled yet, they were fulfilled in Solomon. But the others, Judah and Benjamin, weren't fulfilled until Christ was crucified. Is that?
Yeah, that's great. I've never even thought of that question.
So, but to no longer need the praise of men is huge. That means you no longer respond to the criticism of men, and you no longer need the praise of men. Now, I promise you, whether you know it or not, whether you'll accept it or not, that's the prison the human race is always in. You always need the response of somebody.
So your casting of your bread upon the waters is not affected by the reaction of the waters?
No.
And there's the fast proclaimed by God, set the captives free.
That's right. That's the and feed the hungry. Take the poor into your house. This is pretty neat stuff when you really see it.
Singing last night with the parable of the man who owed a lot of money.
Yeah. That's the perfect one. That's always the case.
If I've been forgiven so much, how dare I hold anything?
Right. That's why forgiveness has nothing to do with the other person. Yeah, the forgiveness should be instantaneous because you know what you've been forgiven of. It has nothing to do with somebody's response to you. That's just childish. Oh, I can't. You know, we used to do it when we had all the kids here, and they'd have to come and meet with me periodically because I was the alleged principal.
Willie the groundskeeper.
What? What?
Ooh, what?
Nothing.
What'd you say, Harry? You know you're not going to get by with that. What'd you say?
What I meant was you're not Principal Skinner, you're Willie the groundskeeper.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Unless it's Simpsons, forget it. Willie's a crazy Scotsman who runs around doing weird.
I got it.
Never mind. Shouldn't have said it.
Here, I finally got it.
I know.
What's Gary? What's going on? You look like you've been hit with a brick again.
Oh, it's just kind of a posture I used.
Contemplative.
It was a brick posture.
Pre-brick or post-brick? Or a brick?
fall on the brick.
Or the brick will fall on you.
Holly, are most of the parables in the New Testament attributed to Jesus? Is that true historically? They didn't come from somewhere else and just were being retold? Not a good question. I love the parables. I mean, to me, each one of them speaks differently.
Well, if you understood the parables, you wouldn't love them.
No, they opened my eyes. I didn't say they make me feel good. they do a good job, I think, of opening.
Well, but like it's the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, just try living the Sermon on the Mount. You can't. I mean, if the Sermon on the Mount doesn't convict you every second, you're an idiot. If the Beatitudes don't convict you every second, you know, I love it when people, Jesus, he was a great teacher. He was the worst teacher on the face of the earth. Oh, he had Jesus and family values. No, he destroyed you. Oh.
Being too high expectations.
Well, he makes you, he reveals our abject stupidity and selfishness and idolatry and guilt.
Why is that not good?
It's good if you die, if you see you're dead and that this, but if you're still trying to get it. Jesus took most of the parables that Jesus spoke were already in extant in the Talmud. But he expanded them beyond comprehension. He said, you have heard that it has been written, but I say. And he took them like thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you, if you even look on a woman, or vice of man look on, or nowadays, who knows? But you even look at it, you've committed adultery. Don't worry about what you do. What you think is what's the issue. That's what defines your worship.
There couldn't be anything new that Christ said, could there? It couldn't be new.
Well, I mean, stop. He said, every other, if you look at all, what I don't care whether it's science or philosophy or anything else, and if you look at all of the Talmud writings, the Midrash and the Zohar, everything and every statement has to be referenced by. In other words, Jesus spoke. He referred nothing to another person. Except by saying, you have heard, but I say. And therefore, it says, never did a man speak like this. Because he expanded. And it'll take us all of eternity to understand and to see the mystery of what he said. That's why the prayer of David was, show me wondrous things out of thy law. It's a constant... The reason the word Pharisee comes from the Hebrew word parash, which means to separate. And what you do is you separate, and if you think about it, that's all we've done for 2,000 years is separate. We separate by race, by sex, and then in the religious world we separate by ministers and laity, or secular and religious, and my work and my spirit, and everything. Yeah. And the Pharisee, everybody is a Pharisee, because you're born to be a Pharisee. You're born to separate and compare because of the fall, because of the curse. And that separation is what totally he destroyed. There is no separation. If you think something is holy and something else is unholy, then nothing is holy.
I was thinking how you separate and you categorize and then you pick behavior and compare, and it's all done to
put you in the driver's seat.
Yeah, and not have to trust God.
But this is why the fall could not happen until God told him to name the animal, to name things. Once he named them, then there was separation. And he had to do that because Adam and Eve were born innocent, but they weren't holy. Because they had to be tested in order for that innocence to be transformed into holiness. Now Christ in you, the hope of glory, is in you as innocence. And he has to be tested to find out whether anything can take you away from that. And so all tests, all things that you're going through are his tests. And therefore you can't have a test. Even the test you personalize. And every time you personalize it, then you've been seduced again. Oh, I'm going through this, or I'm going through that, or oh, this is what I'm dealing with. You've still made you the subject of your sentence. But the whole idea is God had to tell Adam to name things because in order for the test to be manifest so that you, by his mercy, could continue in, and then he tried, I mean, everything was tried. But let's go to the publican.
One thing, you're saying God told Adam to name the animals, and that obeying God is what brought the downfall? Because he did what God told him to? I'm sorry.
He didn't have the capacity to fall until he named things.
Capacity to fall. Okay.
Because there was, once you have, and that's why, you know, unless you become as this, be converted and become as this little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You can be religious and you can run around and do crap, but it doesn't mean anything.
Don't be put off by his behavior.
Oh, God. See, that's what people have done around here. People, I'm serious. People that have stayed tend to excuse me to others. God help you.
Naming, giving Adam the authority to name was giving him dominion.
That's right, Eric.
Well, that's what it means. If you can name something, you have dominion over it. So, okay, you're in charge. Let's see if you screw it up.
Well, but the Guess point what? Is, you know, you hear all these people talk, but they forget that there's a fall.
You want to be in charge of your life? Okay, take over. Talk to me in 5 minutes.
Oh, why can't I find anything? Republican and the, was it the publican and the who? And the one said, the publican said,
"Thank God,
I can't. I'm not worthy. Have mercy and pee on God." He barely looked up. Well, find that. Somebody find that.
Matthew.
But anyway, that is not a one-time state. That's the state of being. If you ever think you've arrived, that's why truth is a sustained consciousness of error, and repentance is a constant. It's not something that you think about. Can you imagine? I must have done it sometime, but I can't remember. I'm trying to thinking about what I'm going to say next. That's just it
Luke
is.
18:13.
Huh?
Luke 18:13.
Go there. Luke 18:13. Thank you, Pete. You've taken over Ronnie's ministry.
Prize pony scores again.
That's called a classroom of fasting.
It's for Pal.
Verse 9, chapter 18. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now, again, I don't do that. Yes, you do every time you think you're right. Is Harry taking a nap?
Listen.
Every time you think you're right. Every time you think you're right.
I heard you the first three times. I'm with you. You're right to point out, Harry.
What? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were right and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now, do you know who the publicans were?
People that hung out in the pub.
Thank you. That went through my mind.
They were the tax collectors. They were all of the worst guys.
The despised ones.
Huh?
The despised ones.
Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. This is why the idea that we have something special is just ludicrous. Although the idea, we compared to what the mystery of God is, we have nothing. And we have achieved nothing. We have understood nothing. Compared to any of these guys that wrote the scriptures, we are just mass stupidity. If you don't know that, every time when you listen every time, every Passover, when we read the Melito of Sardi, that's the most humbling thing that to me that I can do. And that's the same thing. This has to be all the time. Can you imagine thinking that you're running around telling somebody they're going to hell because they didn't accept Jesus as their personal Savior? Well, they separated. The Pharisee.
The Pharisee said, I cast just enough bread on the one.
Yeah.
I was looking at the wordplay here. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. And he said, God.
He prayed within himself. It means he just didn't say it out loud.
I know. But then he says, God.
God and I were just talking the other day. If you got a better understanding of what it means now, that if you cast... It's cast your bread upon the waters isn't a command. It's what happens when you don't eat your bread on the mountain. And you're eating your bread on the mountain every time you have an investment in the outcome of anything that you're doing. Or if you're trying to do something you're doing differently. Like, I know, let's have a campaign to get more people here. No, let's have a campaign to get rid of the ones we have.
It's working.
And it gets deeper as the farther we go into Ecclesiastes.
What's so amazing is all these different places that the same thing is being said, and they all keep coming back more powerfully to the same point. Your death is life.
Let me just read one thing for what hopefully we'll study one of these days. This is Rabbi Eliezer. Even if there be with thy children only these two commandments regarding the Sabbath and circumcision, thou shouldest still have mercy on them. Because if you understood the Sabbath and if you understood circumcision, then you would understand it all. That's what really this means. We were going to divide a portion unto seven, yea, even unto eight.
Are you Bill Morty?
Huh?
Is that Bill Morty?
Well, if we ever get there.
We're only a verse away.
I'm curious about one thing. Is circumcision is one of the things that set people apart, though? To be circumcised or not circumcised?
The only thing God cares about is whether your heart is circumcised.
Okay, so the actual, you're not talking the physical act of circumcision. No, I understand. Okay.
The act, the physical act of circumcision, was to, it's, you know, you can imagine. This is why, when the Amalekites were always, you remember that what the Amalekites did
because they attacked Israel during the time of their circumcision.
And what else did they do?
They struck at them from the rear when they left Egypt. They struck the weakest people.
They cut off their units and threw them up to God and say, is this what you want from these filthy people?
They did that to themselves?
No, the Amalekites did it to them.
Oh, gosh, you scared me. Okay. Okay.
You were thinking of Origen.
Origen did it to himself, one of the early church fathers. Because he couldn't stop the lustful thoughts.
Made me chase, but not quite yet.
Huh?
Made me chase, but not quite yet.
That wasn't Mirage.
I know.
Take it, big guy.
Thank you. So we're with the
read 1 Peter, and you'll understand circumcision.
Oh, you did something wrong, dog.